for the Albany Democratic primary mayoral debate. So I have a few just kind of rules of engagement. I'd ask that you please silence your cell phones, kind of like the movies. We want to give everybody the opportunity to hear from the candidates. We'd also ask that you please offer your applause and cheers when the candidates are introduced and at the end, but otherwise please hold your response. And please, if you have any signs, don't bring them out during the debate. We don't want anybody to not be able to see. All right, so thank you very much. I'd like to invite up Editor Rex Smith. Where'd he go? We lost our editor.
He can be shy.
Oh, he's very shy. That's the issue, right? Well, hold on a moment. Let me go track down our editor. You'd be surprised how often that's my job. We're looking for you. Rex Smith, everybody.
Round of applause. Thank you. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. I was outside helping to direct traffic, believe it or not. But we thank you all for being here for this event, part of the Times Union Hearst Media Center introductory season. This space is a physical manifestation of our publisher George Hearst's desire to have the newspaper be the center of community conversation. And we think that here we have an opportunity tonight to exemplify exactly that sort of an operation. So we thank you for coming to this Democratic primary debate. We're especially grateful to John Bevilacqua, who is the broker and owner of Exit Realty Capital Choice. John is our sponsor tonight. He, by the way, I should just tell you a little bit about him. He began his real estate career in New York City and opened Exit Capital Region Choice 3 years ago, and it's already now one of the top three exit offices upstate. He works with the Greater Capital Region Association of Realtors, as well as Ronald McDonald House and United Cerebral Palsy of Upstate New York and Habitat for Humanity. So we're very grateful, and just words of greeting. John, come on over here, please, and say a few words. John Bevilacqua.
Thanks for that introduction. That was, I got a big shoes to fill up here, but I think it's going to get rowdy tonight. What do you guys think? When Tina approached me with this opportunity with Sue, I said, why do you guys want a realtor to sponsor this event? She goes, because you guys are obsessed with lawn signs. And what better event would it be than, you know, you guys are always counting lawn signs. And living in the city of Albany, it's every other house is a different sign right now. So I think this race right now is the one to follow in the capital region. And I think in the state, I think this position as the Albany mayor is something that everybody follows. So thanks again for this opportunity. It's really exciting. And thanks for the candidates this evening. So
that's right. Okay, thanks very much, John. All right. So let me introduce you to first our journalist panelists. We have a panel of three journalists who each will be asking questions. Jay Jochnowitz, the Times Union editorial page editor. Here you can see his face. Alisa Streeter, anchor for WTEN News 10 in Albany. And the news director for WAMC Northeast Public Radio, Ian Pekus. Our timekeeper is Times Union political writer Matt Hamilton, and we will all respect what he says. And our moderator, who will explain the rules and carry this forward, is Casey Seiler, senior editor of the Times Union. We introduce our candidates. Those probably don't need introduction. By in alphabetical order, they are Frank Commisso Jr., Carolyn McLaughlin, and Kathy Sheehan. Thank you.
Thanks very much, and thanks very much to our audience. Can you all hear me? My mic hasn't gone live yet. You're all good? Okay, great. And forgive me for giving you my back, but I will. And now, as Rex noted, the rules. The questions will be posed to a specific candidate who will have 2 minutes to answer. The other two candidates will then have a minute apiece to offer a rebuttal or otherwise respond to the question. Because we have three questioners and three candidates, we will mix up the order of the questioners, but not the order of the respondents. Candidates. A few minutes ago, we drew straws to determine who would get the first question, and that distinction went to Mr. Commisso. Our timekeeper will hold up a yellow card when a candidate has 15 seconds left for their answer or rebuttal, and a red card when their time is up. And yes, these are professional soccer cards. In the unlikely event that I feel the question has not been answered, or if basic fairness demands that an accusation has been made that needs a response, I reserve the option of giving a candidate 30 seconds to address the issue. After the last question has been asked, each candidate can offer a 90-second closing statement. And now, to reiterate the earlier plea to our audience, please wait until the end of the debate for demonstrations of support. We have a lot of topics to cover tonight, and all three of the candidates, as well as the city of Albany, are best served by making sure that we have time to touch on all of them. With that, we'll get right down to it, and I will turn it over to Jay Jochnowitz for our first question, which, as noted, will go to Councilmember Commisso.
Thanks, Casey. Good evening.
Good evening.
So, back in 1993, which was the last mayoral race. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
I'm sorry. Do I have to turn it on?
How's that?
Get close.
Better? Nope.
Yes. No.
There we go.
Okay.
Get close.
Thank you. All right. So back in 1993, which was the last mayoral race I think I covered, Jerry Jennings put out an interesting idea. I'm sorry. How's that?
Much better.
Got to be really close. Okay. So back in 1993, when Jerry Jennings was running for mayor, he put out a pretty intriguing idea to run a canal through Broadway, diverting the Hudson River and creating a canal within the city. And it was an offbeat idea that got a lot of attention. It got a buzz going. People started talking more about downtown. And, you know, although he took a lot of ribbing for it, I credit him to this day with putting out an idea that was bigger than just being a caretaker of the city. So I'm wondering, in this race, in your vision for being mayor, what is your big idea? What's your, for another word, legacy?
Yeah, great question. And you talked about downtown, Jay. And first, thank you to the Times Union for hosting us here tonight and for everybody here in attendance. Now, downtown, really, we can be a urban center. And in the 21st century, we could really be a model for other cities with a downtown that's thriving with taxable growth, which is something we have not had over the past several years here in the city of Albany. Now, for me, something that has been talked about for many years throughout Albany's political history over the past several decades has been 787 and what 787 means to the city of Albany and how it blocks the city of Albany from developing its waterfront. So many other cities in the Northeast have used their riverfront to be a source of commercial development, residential with taxable growth as well. And of course, if we ever turn 787 into a boulevard, what I think would be excellent for the city of Albany, of course, would be to have stormwater retention built in underneath 787. That would require a very large effort that I would be happy to lead. That would be working with our state agencies to ensure that more people can get into Albany via car, not via car, but via bus rapid transit, that we have more folks that potentially could work from home throughout state government. Right now, we do have parking challenges in Albany. But I believe having 787 be a boulevard and turning it from something that gets talked about and discarded every few years, but actually make that a reality. Work with our leaders in state government. Work here with the folks here in Albany and the Capital District Regional Planning Commission and CDTA to make those other alternatives available for people to get in the city of Albany. That would be a phenomenal. That would be a phenomenal outcome for the city of Albany, that we could get so many more people into Albany and have that stormwater retention built in and have access to our riverfront. I think that is the project of the 21st century for the city of Albany to really have its taxable base grow.
Council President, the first rebuttal or otherwise response goes to you. You have a minute.
Well, one of the things that I believe that in relationship to this question, we need to just to continue to build upon what we've already created. We do have what is called Jennings Landing at this point, and I don't believe it's ever been really moved forward in the way that it was originally intended. If we took advantage of the opportunity to build more kiosks down there so that it becomes a destination year-round, people walk there year-round from here to Troy. Why not just have it open for 5 weeks out of the year when we have concerts down there, but make it something that's accessible year-round. It's almost like the bridge to nowhere, because at this point, we don't have the shops that were originally intended down there. You can go go to the information booth. You can go to the restroom. That's about it. But why not have some permanent stations built down there where people can go? We have a lot of entrepreneurs in our city who have an opportunity, who could have an opportunity to sell their wares. We're talking about 100,000 people coming into Albany, and there's an opportunity, a destination for them as well.
Mayor Sheehan, you have a minute as well.
So we have a great revitalization plan for the riverfront, and we are in the process of executing on that, and we've talked to DOT, and we're in talks about building a linear park, taking one of the ramps and creating a linear park over to the riverfront. But for me, the big idea for our city is we're the capital of New York State. We have incredible infrastructure. We have incredible architecture. I want a legacy where we looked at our neighborhoods. We are a city of neighborhoods, and there are too many of our neighborhoods that are still struggling. And we need to focus on how we take the beautiful fabric of those neighborhoods and the stories of those neighborhoods and work to revitalize them by bringing investment, by bringing businesses, and by ensuring that the residents in our city are connected to jobs. That's how we spur economic growth. That's how we grow our tax base. We've left this treasure of our neighborhoods behind for too long, and we're working very hard to focus on bringing that back to what it is makes this city such a great and wonderful place to live.
And now Ian Pickus with a question for Mayor Sheehan.
Mayor Sheehan, asked about the Albany High School's 58% graduation rate in 2016, both of your opponents suggested in the first debate on August 17th that they might support mayoral control of the Albany schools. The question to you is, would you support such a takeover of the schools?
I think that we would need to have a very deep and long discussion with our residents with respect to mayoral control of our schools. There is a long history here, and that history led to the city moving away from mayoral control of the schools because of patronage politics, quite candidly, because of concerns that residents had that they didn't really have a voice. And so we need to make sure that our community is part of that conversation. Mayoral control of schools is something that came up in my first year in office because it was something that Governor Cuomo suggested to us mayors of the five big cities outside of New York City that we take a hard look at. And I've discussed it at length with the mayors of Syracuse and Rochester and Buffalo. And there are significant financial challenges associated with it as well. And all of the mayors agreed that absent significant state support and state aid to allow a transition of mayoral control to occur and to facilitate the transition to mayoral control, that we could see significant challenges. I think it's incredibly important that we work closely with the school district. And I have had a strong relationship with the school superintendents in the time that I've been mayor, and I've met with this new school superintendent. And I have been working across the various institutions in our city to work with the school district to ensure that we are doing all that we can so that our children get the education that they deserve and have the opportunity to succeed. And so this is something that would have to be part of a community conversation, and we would have to have a strong outcome and evidence that would be attached to that to determine whether or not this is something that would be accomplished with mayoral control or whether this was something that we can accomplish by continuing to work together as we have over the last 3.5 years.
Council President, your response?
Well, I would like to clarify first that in the last debate, I did not say that I supported mayoral control, because I actually stated the fact that I believe that The administration in the city of Albany should have a seat at the table, in that we have to be a part of the conversation, because people, I've often stated, they are concerned about the quality of their schools when they make a decision on where they're going to live. So what I did propose that part of the administration be a part of any big decisions that are being made through the school board and or the superintendent of schools, because if we're going to make shared decisions, and I think there's an opportunity to make shared decisions such that one hand knows what the other one is doing, and I think that we have to take advantage of the opportunity that is put before us now with a school superintendent to work together to ensure that our graduation rate is up and that people can have a positive response when they ask, are our schools credible and are they going to their children going to get a high-quality education?
Councilman Commisso.
In Albany, I think there's a great level of dissatisfaction for parents that have children in the school district and also for taxpayers in the city of Albany. Just last year, we had had a record increase in state aid for the city of Albany for the school district, and we have a tax increase coming Friday that will land in mailboxes very likely Saturday or early next week for homeowners throughout the city of Albany. We have graduation rates that were cited at 58%. That is a struggle as well. So we need to have a better coordination with the school district. How that is achieved, I'm open to explore multiple avenues. One thing I do know is that after school every day, we lose many children that no longer have those award-winning recreation programming. Those were turned over to a charge model. And of course, we've lost things like the gang prevention program, truancy abatement program, where we could work together with folks in the school district and achieve a better outcome. So for me, that's the priority, is how do we have better graduation rates, better educational outcomes at a lower cost. Thank you.
All right, and now back to Jay with a question for Council President McLaughlin.
One longstanding complaint about the property tax system, and this isn't just limited to Albany, I've heard it in a number of cities before, that the way that property is taxed on what's on the property is a disincentive for people to improve, to keep up their property and to improve it. And I'm wondering, there are various ideas out there, including taxing the value of land instead and just letting people develop what they want on it within zoning regulations. I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about how Albany could be more creative, either in its property tax policies or other related policies that would encourage better upkeep of property.
Well, I know land value taxation has been a topic that has been around for a number of years. That's something that we have not explored. It may be something that whose time has come in terms of having serious conversation about that, especially in light of the fact of all the blight that we have in our community. And I think until we find the answer to increase all of the value in our neighborhoods, maybe no subject is a bad subject to approach. And I think that land value taxation is something that I think, that as you went all the way back to 1993, I think that it's been talked about since that time. And I would like to see it explored only to the extent that as we continue to look at other ways of dealing with taxes in our city. One of the best ways to increase taxes in our city is to increase the quality of housing that is available in our city so that when you get taxes, properties put on the roll, they're there for a good reason because people have affordable, quality housing that they don't mind paying taxes on. And I've had that said to me going door to door in certain neighborhoods, people say, I don't mind because I do have opportunity. I am able to afford this. But I think that there are neighborhoods that really need to be given a different kind of attention. Housing in particular in Albany has to be approached, I think, from a more comprehensive standpoint. We have got to stop waiting for buildings to crumble or to catch on fire before we give them the consideration that they need. I think that we really need to look at some of the other options that are being tried in other cities. Boston seems to be growing by leaps and bounds and has increased their housing stock enormously in the last 4 years. And I think that there are some opportunities there that we need to look at. If we're looking at housing for families, housing for seniors, housing for students, housing for young millennials within our city of Albany, I think that is where we're going to find the answer to the tax problem in the city of Albany.
Councilman Commisso.
Land value taxation is something that has been used in many municipalities in Pennsylvania. It has worked there. It is something that I think is very worthy of consideration here in the city of Albany. Now, there is a great level of dissatisfaction in upstate New York, specifically here in Albany, as it relates to our property tax system. And there's a host of ways that we could begin to address that. One is, I think, from an economic development perspective, there is a public appetite, and certainly something I would feel very strongly about, which is we need to end the policy of local corporate welfare here in the city of Albany. You have developers of luxury housing that have come into the city of Albany for a number of years. They will not be paying taxes for decades. And that is taxes not paid to the school district, to the city, county, or our library branches. So for me, something that is very important is that we change the way we pursue economic development, and we start to actually provide incentives for people to fix up those vacant and abandoned buildings we have throughout our historic neighborhoods here in the city of Albany.
Mayor Sheehan.
So I just want to address that because that's a statement that Councilman Camuso has made a number of times. And I just want to reiterate, every single one of the developments that have happened in the city of Albany have resulted in more revenue for the city and the school district than had the project not been done. And all of those projects pay the library tax. So while they pay a payment in lieu of taxes, they are paying taxes. And they are all generating more revenue the day that they go online than the city would have received had they stayed as they were. As a matter of fact, one of the new projects that is happening on Washington Avenue Extension is going to result in five times more money for the city and the school district than had that project not been built and had remained a hotel that was underutilized and that was an eyesore. So economic development is very important. How we tax property is incredibly important. I think the biggest challenge for the city actually is our homestead, non-homestead burden that is making it such a challenge for us to do commercial development in the city. And that's something that we need to and we've been working to address.
And now a question from Elisa Streeter to Councilman Camuso.
Councilman Camuso, let's stay with housing for just a minute. Albany has many neighborhood homes that have been changed into apartments rented to students or often other folks, and they're left to deteriorate. Absentee landlords may live miles from here, and they may not see the effect that their neglect could have on their neighbors. So what would you do to crack down on neglectful absentee landlords?
It's a great question, and it's something that over the past two election cycles that I've been a part of in the city of Albany, running as a member of the Albany Common Council in 2009-2013, came up. People talked about code enforcement in our neighborhoods, and what we would like to have and what I would like to have as mayor is a proactive code enforcement function. So for me, I think the natural response is to have our Albany firefighters involved in that process. That gives us then 260 employees that can get very much involved in that process day to day. Now, this came up last month because it was very sad. City of Albany had a very large fire on Madison Avenue, and it turned out that there was a building there that did not have an ROP, and it turned out as well to reveal that the city had a two-year backlog of code violations, whereby on the city's own website, C-Click-Fix, that application, there had been complaints from 24 months earlier about alleged violations of New York State Fire Code on Madison Avenue. So that's very sad. We lost historic buildings. Luckily, in that instance, we did not lose any. There was no loss of human life or pets. So that was a outcome that still, when we lose historic buildings in the middle of our city, very much a concern to me. By having firefighters involved in this process, I think we have advanced and much better fire protection services. I also think that it is a natural way to have more bodies to put at this problem. We have to catch up on that backlog. So many people, and on every street in Albany, and I've been walking in Albany since March, there are homes that are neglected, and it really brings down the value of all the other adjacent properties. And for me, that is a priority. We will have those firefighters be a part of that process. I know the pitfalls that were in place when we created the Department of Buildings and Regulatory Compliance. We will address those pitfalls. But I do think that is a much better program, and that is the only way to catch up on the code backlog in the city of Albany.
Mayor Sheehan.
Well, with respect to the backlog with respect to code violations, it's not that we're not inspecting the buildings and finding the code violations. It's that we can't find the people who own the buildings to actually force them to fix the buildings. And that has been a significant challenge. And that's where we are focusing our resources now. I was successful in getting the Attorney General to fund a position of a neighborhood revitalization specialist whose job it is to focus particularly on vacant buildings and and abandoned buildings, the buildings with the red X's, and determine the how we are going to take those property owners and hold them accountable. We also are stepping up with respect to how we are using Coates Court and bringing in a paralegal that was supported by the council, fortunately, although I believe Councilman Camisso voted against the budget, but a position that was supported for a paralegal in the Codes Department so that we can have stronger codes cases and get these property owners into court and accountable.
I will let Councilman Camisso respond to that if he wants to. He has 30 seconds.
Sure. I voted against the previous three budgets in the city of Albany because they contained massive structural deficits similar to the one we face just next year, which will be well over $20 million. And I would like to avoid having decisions where we take our most vulnerable residents and punish them through the budget process. Now, we have already demonstrated that the city is very willing and able to do that. I voted against those in those budgets, and I'm proud of those votes through things like a trash fee. We attempted as a city to close a firehouse in the South End. Those are things that I do not support, and I do support our employees here in the city of Albany and our taxpayers. Thank you.
Council President, you now have a minute to respond to the question.
Since you had him rebut, I'm kind of not quite sure what the question was, because it went another way.
It was, what would you do?
Landlords.
Yeah, what would you do to crack down on neglectful absentee landlords?
Well, since over 40% of the vacant and abandoned buildings in the city of Albany are owned by absentee landlords, I think the top priority has to be enforcement and contacting those owners. I don't care if they're from here to New Jersey. We need to go and get them. And I'm not sure whether the firefighters are the ones to do that. They are the ones to ensure that the buildings are up to code in terms of investigating those. But we need to go after these people individually and hold them accountable. It's out of sight, out of mind for them. So we're the ones here suffering the consequences. So I think first and foremost, we need to put resources in place such as the young man that has been put in as our vacant building coordinator. But first and foremost, we need to track down these owners and make them accountable. Make them pay the costs for owning these buildings in our city and the consequences that they have inflicted upon us because of their neglect.
Thank you. And now again to Jay Jochnowitz with a question for Mayor Sheehan.
When you first ran for mayor, one of the main things you wanted to do was use data to better get a handle on city expenses and overtime and staffing and so forth. And you've had nearly 4 years to look at it, so I'm wondering, what have you found and what have you done with it?
Well, you know, we started, first of all, by going to the state and saying, we know that we don't know a lot about our operations because we're paying everybody on paper timesheets and we're manually entering that information into a computer system that was one version removed from Pong. So, you know, it was the black and green screen. And so we went to the state and the state provided us with funding to purchase a new IT system. So we went through the process of bringing all of our departments together, evaluating what we needed, reaching out, evaluating systems, procuring a system, and now we've implemented that system. And the new IT system really is what allowed us to build a budget for 2017 that was a 2% reduction from the prior year, which is the largest reduction in more than 15 years, because we had better data. And as we continue to use this new tool that is available to us, it allows us to use that data much more effectively. And we're not just using it with respect to building the budget and finding opportunities for cost savings. We're using it in ways that allow us to have a more open government and to communicate better with our residents. So we recently launched a Search Albany, which is a mapping mechanism that allows people to go in and get information at their fingertips that it used to take multiple phone calls to be able to get and sometimes would not result in a person even getting the information that they initially were looking for. So things like like, information about just for a new resident, right? So what is my ward? Who is my council member? What are the parks that are near my house? When is my trash pickup day? So we're using that information and collecting data and using that data to allow us to make better decisions. And I'm running out of time, but we're using it to do new trash routes. We're using it, which will be more effective and efficient. We're using it to improve recycling. And the data is helping us to make better decisions.
Councilman Commisso.
From a budget perspective, I think we can do so much better here in the city of Albany. And that is a major reason why I'm running for mayor, of course, because I want to maintain strong public services. I want to maintain services that are dependable for the long term for our city. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, we have a deficit in excess of $20 million facing the city next year. And that is of great concern to me. I think it's of great concern to taxpayers here in the city, certainly of great concern to our employees. So to dig ourselves out of that hole, I think we have to do a few things. One is we need to have a multi-year financial plan. That's something that we've talked about for years.